السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. دا کلام آف دا عارفین آلدو سم ٹائم اٹ از ان پوئٹری فارم وی جسٹ لسن ٹو اٹ اینڈ وی گیٹ سم انٹرٹینمنٹ آؤٹ آف اٹ ان ایکچوئل فیکٹ اٹس اے ہول واز اٹس اے ہول بیان دیٹ از گیون in the poetry. So some other time, inshallah, we can translate it and take some lessons from there. But just the one line that was read good few times, that if a person, he doesn't get the medication from those who have Allah Ta'ala, meaning the Allah Walo, those who have now made, you know, some connection with Allah Ta'ala, if we don't get medication from them, then it's very difficult to bring our rebellious nafs under control. If we don't get medication, visiting the doctor is one thing, getting a prescription is another thing, and taking the medication or bath, that's something else. Taking the medication. Otherwise, visiting the doctor is easy. Just getting prescriptions, that too is easy. Take the medication. So if we don't take the medication from the Allah Walo, then it's very hard to bring this nafs under control. And then he mentions there in one stanza that people who have got everything going for them, all the entertainment, the wealth, everything, they are living it up and they're doing everything. But if that was something that was going to bring sukoon, then why are they committing suicide? You find people, these actors, singers, sports players, all, they got everything from a dunyavi perspective, everything they got going for themselves. But the highest suicide rate is then amongst them. They are the ones committing suicide. And on the other hand, you look at the pious servants of Allah Ta'ala, sometimes they got absolutely nothing. Sometimes they're living in a small house, hardly any possessions, etc. No bank balance, nothing, they're just living a simple life. But you don't ever hear them committing suicide. So what it shows is that they have got something that is giving them peace. They've got the sukoon e dil. And then he mentions that if the sukoon e dil was such that you could do some drilling in the ground and dig it out, pump it out, like how petrol is taken out, oil is taken out from the ground. If it was a thing like that, then even the kuffar would have taken it out. The kuffar too would have drilled the ground and taken it out. The sukoon e dil is not like that. It's not a commodity that you can just purchase and acquire. It is something that comes with qurbani, with mujahada, making serious, serious changes in our lives. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it. There are many other lessons there, but inshallah, on another time, we'll try and do a little bit more. So just to recap, we were discussing this majlis of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib Naam Barakatuh. Hazrat mentioned that we have to now seriously sort ourselves out. We have to remove our razail, the evil qualities from within us, and bring in the akhlaqi hamida. So Hazrat mentioned that Allah Ta'ala is the makin. Just recapping, Allah Ta'ala is the makin, and the makan is qalbul mu'min, the heart of the believer. If we want Allah Ta'ala's love, Allah Ta'ala's nur, That consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, we want it to reside in our hearts. So when that is the case, then the heart has to be very, very clean. Very clean. Spiritually clean. Sometimes we are very conscious and concerned about our physical health. And that is important. We must worry also about our physical health. But what about the spiritual health? What about the spiritual health? So we discussed that the first thing is to adopt high levels of sabr. Bring high levels of sabr in us. Then we discussed the example of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullah alayhi in the mirror. Then we also discussed with regards to Raza bil Qaza, to be pleased with Allah Ta'ala's decrees. Whatever is Allah's decree, be pleased with it. And then tolerance. Then we discussed the tolerance of Allah Ta'ala. That look at Gaza, what is happening. If Allah Ta'ala wants, he can just wipe out all the kuffar, one shot. Look at Allah Ta'ala's tolerance. Allah in His hikmat, in His wisdom, He knows why He is allowing all this to happen, etc. Then we discussed another point on that is look at the sufferings of the Anbiya alayhim salam. They are the chosen bandas of Allah Ta'ala, the Anbiya alayhim salam. But some of them suffered so much and Allah Ta'ala witnessed it. Even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, the beloved of Allah Ta'ala, how much Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also went through in the dunya. And Allah Ta'ala watched all of that. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, imagine that time when Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was stoned in Taif. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is bleeding. The street urchins are chasing him. They're stoning Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So Hazrat, when he used to mention this incident, he says, how the malaika must have witnessed this. They're looking at the beloved of Allah, the one for whom the whole world was created. The whole world was created. If it wasn't for him, nothing would have been created. The most beloved. After Allah Ta'ala, the greatest. And this is happening to him. So if how the malaika looked at it, how Allah Ta'ala was looking at it? How Allah Ta'ala was looking at it? So this is Allah Ta'ala's tolerance. And then those people of Taif, one is, we say, alright, they did this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now they'll see in Jahannam. We talk like that. But about Netanyahu and all these people, now they'll burn now. They'll burn. They didn't die as yet. We're already putting them in Jahannam. They didn't even die as yet. We're putting them in Jahannam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he is being attacked, he is making dua. In Uhud, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being attacked. He is making dua. Ya Allah, give hidayat to them. They don't know. Here also, Taif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is making dua. If they don't bring iman, somebody from their progeny will bring iman. And it happened like that. That those people brought iman after that. That very same people of Taif, they brought iman after that. So this is the tolerance of Allah Ta'ala. Then we discussed a few points with regards to how we are living with our wives. How we get upset over little things. And if we give them silent treatment, then we think we're very pious. Because we're not like those who are swearing and shouting and hitting, so be very pious. No, we're none the better. We're none the better. If we're giving silent treatment and we're showing attitude and we're not talking and all that, we're none the better. Right? With regards to this, our family life, etc., imagine Sahaba radiallahu anhu, right? Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he had a brother from amongst the Ansar. And he had come to visit his brother. At that time, the laws of hijab were not revealed as yet. So he came to visit the brother, but his Ansari brother was not at home. His wife was at home. So he noticed that she is very unkempt, you know. She's not really like worried about how she's dressed or whatever, you know. So he asked her, what's the matter with you, you know? I mean, you are a married woman, you have a husband, so now you must take care of yourself, you know, beautify yourself for your husband. In other words, that was he was implying. So she said to him that your brother, he got no interest in the world. In other words, whether I have to dress up, I have to beautify myself, whatever, he got no interest in anything. So Salman radiallahu anhu, little while later now, his Ansari brother came. So food was then presented. Food was presented. So the Ansari brother is telling Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu that, no, you eat, I'm fasting. So Hazrat Salman told him, see, I'm not going to eat till you don't break your fast. You break your fast and you eat with me. Now, Nafal Roza, you can break. You got Mehman came away and all that. And you feel now they'll be uncomfortable if you are fasting and you're going to give them. Then you can break the Nafal Roza and you can partake of the meal with them. Then you're going to make qaza of it on another day. So he made him break the Roza. Then night time, now he's, this Ansari brother of his, every day he's fasting. Whole night he's in ibadat. So where's the time for the wife now? So, he told him, no. You go and sleep now. You make ibadat later. Go and sleep. He sent him to sleep. So, a little while later, hour or so later, he woke up again. Because now he's adat now. He's making ibadat every night. So, he woke up again. After one third the night, as a samantha, no. You go. I'll wake you up when the time is right. Two, three times he tried to wake up in the night. He said, no, you go. Then eventually, the last hour now, what we call tahajjud time, so then he told him, right, now you make ibadat. And then the person who every night he is making ibadat, now what enjoyment he is getting in his ibadat. Now to him, what, you spoiled my whole night now. You spoiled my night. You deprived me of making ibadat tonight. So Salman Radnan explained to him, see, your body has got a right over you. Your wife has got a right over you. Your family has got a right over you. You got to take everything into consideration. You can't just be now one way in ibadat now and you're neglecting your wife. So, he went to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, no, this is what happened now. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard him. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, see, your brother Salman, he told you the right thing. He told you the right thing, that you have to be balanced. Now, boy, for us, we must think. This was ibadat. This was ibadat. The reason for what we are created, liya'budun. He was engaging in ibadat. And what he is being told, that no, your wife got a right over you, your family got a right over you, your body got a right over you. In other words, you must be balanced, you must take things easy, you can't make so much ibadat now. By how many of us, we are involved in other things? And that's not the objective of our life. That's not the objective of our life. And due to our engagements and our involvement in those things, we are neglecting our bodies, we are neglecting our wives, we are neglecting our families. Now, how are we going to justify our situation? How are we going to justify our situation? Some people are working. Every day they are working. Night time too they are working. Because when they come from work, now they're thinking about work. One, two people who are employed, you know. They say, you know, we are being paid from this time to this time. But we have to be on call all the time. Because the boss, when he goes home, now his akal ke gore is running now. The horses in his brain is running. Now he thinks about. Now the boss, he pitches up 10 o'clock to work. He pitches up 10 o'clock. Then he goes away. So he's okay. Now he can pull at night. The staff bichara, they clocking card 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning. They working the full day. Now 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever, they have knocked off. Now they gone home. Right? Now you're not paying them for that time. You're not paying them for that time. Now you think in your head now, one idea came. One something came, or you remembered something. Now you're phoning him now. Phoning. You got company phone, you must answer. You got company phone, you must answer. Right? That is his family time. That is his family time. It's not your time. He's not your slave. He works for you from certain time to certain time. You must respect that. And emergency is something else. Emergency is something else. But to just think you can phone him anytime because he's working for you, it doesn't work that way. That is his time with his family. Imagine if he has got two wives. Right? The time that is for one wife, he can't take that time and give it to the other wife. You feature nowhere. You're not a wife. Where you came? You're taking every time of his. Anytime you think you can phone. Weekend you can phone. Anytime you phone him. If he don't answer, then you pulled up the next day. Then you start making statements like, you must decide if you want to work. There's a lot of other people looking for job. No, you are making zulam. That is zulam. It's oppression. Right? We must think, you working that person, he's still earning his same salary. Yeah, you thinking now, and you building your castles, if you are the owner of the business. You making extra, you the owner of the company, your money is increased. He's still taking home his normal salary and going home. Nothing else he's doing. So, what I was explaining is that this sahabi is being told by Salman radhiyallahu anhu and also by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you have to have a balance in your life. You can't just be working all the time. So what is our cutoff? How much we're going to work? We must have our time to time. Work time to time. And stop. We have become like working workaholics. Like the only reason we're living is to work. Sunday to Sunday we are working one way. What a life is this? What kind of a life is it? So we have to take stock of our lives. Allah never put us here in this world just to work. And then those of us that are employing, no. You know, how many people's rosy is our responsibility? Who made your responsibility? Who made your responsibility? It's not your responsibility. Allah Ta'ala will provide. If Allah wants to use you to provide, in that same hours, Allah will provide. And if Allah wants somebody else to provide, Allah will make somebody else provide. Nobody is, you're not responsible for anybody's rosy. Allah is responsible for everybody's risk, everybody's rosy. Then some of us, it's hobbies. Some of us, it's entertainment. Some of us, it's friends. The time is going with the friends. The time is going with the hobbies. Whose time? The wife's time, the children's time, sometimes business time. Business time is business time. That time you must concentrate on your business. Now that time you're running around with friends, you're not concentrating on your business. That too is wrong. Allah Ta'ala gave you a business that is a bounty, it's a ni'mat. You look after it. You look after it. You work time to time in your business hours. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, your business hours, that time you don't entertain your friends. That's not time for entertaining friends. That time you do your business. And then when it's your cut off from business, then you cut off. Then it's your family time, it's your ibadat time. It's your time to turn to Allah Ta'ala. Your ma'amulat time, you got to have your time for everything. And there are young ulama here also, others. By even your khidmat of deen, your khidmat of deen also, you can't say now you're making so much khidmat of deen that you're neglecting your wife and your children. That's also khidmat of deen. The wife and children too is khidmat, are they not part of the ummah? They too part of the ummah. So their problems are also ummah's problems. And sometimes, especially the younger ulama, you see, we get very, very, I don't know what's the word to use now. Somebody comes by you with the marital problem. Somebody comes to you with, now you start feeling very important about yourself. But believe you me, 9 out of 10 people who got a marital problem, they want to have a problem. They're not looking for no solution. They're not looking, if they wanted a solution, you can sort the problem out in 10 minutes. But they want to give you a long story because they don't want to go home. And their friends don't want to talk to them on that night. So they find one Molisa. Now they want to talk to you. Long story, hours and hours. Then tomorrow they meet you. Next day they meet you. Just bakwas. Most of it is just bakwas. But now you get start feeling so important that this person is coming to me with this problem. I need to help him out. I need to hear him out. The man is worried so much about his neighbor's wife. She got a problem. His wife got a problem that he doesn't know. His wife is sitting and pining for him at home. That he can't sort that problem out. But that neighbor's wife, she's crying that her husband is gone, never come home. That problem he's trying to solve. So sometimes we're putting things upside down. Yes, there is dini khidmat that needs to be made. Sometimes you are in a community, you are making imamat, you are teaching, whatever you are doing, you got to see to your community also. But everything has got a limit. Part of your community is your own wife. Part of your community is your own children. They're also part of that community. So when we're going to take out time for them? When time is going to be taken out for them? They are also human. Sometimes, you know, one man was telling me the other day, he says, you know, Marna, we're so stressed, you know, and when you come home now, we just want some peace, you know, we want some peace. And now you come home and now the wife, now she's giving you her stories. Sometimes you feel, I'm going to just find somebody else, man. No, just somebody, you know, just for some peace, find somebody else. So I asked him, I said, you don't think your wife is thinking the same thing? See, you don't think your wife is thinking the same thing. Only you stressed. Only you need peace. Doesn't she need? Whole day she's alone in the house. Whole day she's waiting for you to come. Who must she talk to? She's not talking to strangers. She's busy changing your children's nappies. She's busy looking after your children. She's making your khidmat, looking after the house, taking care of everything. You are her life partner. She left her house. He always mentions this. That she left her house, left her parents, her siblings, her family, her comfort zone, and she came into your house now. Now she's waiting for you to come home. Now when you come home, you too stressed. So what you stressed about? What's making you stressed? If somebody has to ask you, you say, no, man, you know, I'm working to give my family the best. What best are you giving? If you come home and you can't smile, You come home and you can't cheer them up. You the hero of your house. You are the hero of your home. They're looking forward to you coming home. And you coming home like a pauper. They're waiting for you to come home. The children are waiting for you. The child may be excited, did something in madrasa, something. The child wants to show you an achievement. The wife wants to tell you one story. So, you know, everybody waiting for you to come. You the father, you the hero, you the one they're waiting for. And you come home, no useless. That child is so looking so, you know, forward to you coming, want to tell you something about what happened in the day. Right? You're not pitching up. No show. You're not pitching up. Now, if the wife sends you a message, you don't answer. If she phones, I'm busy now, I'm busy. Now what she must tell the child? But you worried about the children in Gaza. The children in Gaza, what can you do from here? What you can do? But your children, where you can make a difference in their life. You can do something in their life. No, they are neglected. They are left one side. And the man will say, no, I'm working for the family. I'm working for the family. I'm doing things for them. The akhlaq is more important. The smile is more important. The time is more important. Money can only go to a certain point. Money will go to a certain point. You can't buy love. You can't buy love. You have to give time. You have to show some appreciation. You have to show some appreciation. Make them also feel loved. Make them feel important. Make them also feel special that they are a part of your life. They are an important component of your life. The children are important people in your life. And everybody else's problems will carry on. You don't want your home also to become a problem. So we must think, even young ulama sitting here, I'm telling you, that you can't, you talk sorting out this one's drug problem, and you're sorting out that one's marital problem, and this fellow's business problem. They will waste your time, 4 or 5 hours. And if they don't get an answer that they want, they'll go waste one another morning's time. That's what they do. They don't go to the lawyer because it costs them money. The morning is free. So they'll waste. If they really want a solution, in 10-15 minutes you can solve the problem. You ask the person, what is the problem? He'll explain to you his situation. Ask that person what is the problem. Look at what Sharia says and give them an answer. Finish. It's over. But no, they're looking for what they want. So don't get caught up in that web. Don't get caught up in that web. Sitting and listening to long, long stories for what? So we have to treat our wives, our children, and their tarbiyat. The tarbiyat of our children is a very, very important thing. Very, very important thing to make our children's tarbiyat. Then Hazrat spoke about the etiquette of proceeding to the masjid. That each one of us, especially salikin, to be looking for Allah Ta'ala. We want Allah Ta'ala in our hearts. But the time we going to the masjid, which we call the house of Allah Ta'ala, how we going? With a cigarette in our mouth? Or a vape? Or the phone? If we're going with a friend, we're talking. Sometimes ribat, sometimes panta. So are we then really looking for Allah Ta'ala? Are we really looking for Allah Ta'ala? If we want Allah Ta'ala, we're going to Allah's house. Now we're supposed to be focused. And I'm going to Allah Ta'ala's house. I'm supposed to be focusing on Allah. I'm supposed to be in a condition of dhikrullah. Etiquettes of the masjid, how to behave in the masjid. Hazrat mentions this all the time. I think I mentioned to the students also that I'm going in the masjid, I made my wuzu, made my body clean, my clothing clean, but is my heart clean? Is my heart clean? Or do I have jealousy for somebody? I got ill feelings towards somebody. I'm thinking bad about somebody. My heart is not clean. So how is Allah Ta'ala going to come into that heart? Makin, Allah Ta'ala. Makan, albi mu'min. That heart has to be clean all the time for Allah Ta'ala to come in that heart. The other thing Hazrat mentioned is our humility. Humility. When a person has humility, and the humility must be from the heart, not a lip service humility. Outwardly to walk with a, you know, bent back and talk in soft tones and come and make one salam like this and all that. That is all a put on. Humility is a quality of the heart. There was one young person in one khanqah, so he used to behave like that. Sit on one corner and cover himself. And go and mix an arm, bow down, all like, you know. At the konvichara, like, you know. So one day, one elderly person, he came in the masjid and he was losing his eyesight. So he had his walking stick and he's trying to find his way in the masjid. And this youngster now, he's sitting there with his scarf and, you know, this hunched back and he's sitting there. So this elderly person, by mistake, he knocked him with the stick. But you can't see now, he knocked him with the stick. So this person, he turned around in a rage, like, you know, what's wrong with you? You can't see where you're going. So the sheikh was sitting in the back. This young fellow didn't know now the sheikh is around. The sheikh was sitting in the back. So when he saw this thing, he said, this youngster almost had us fooled. I really thought he got humility in him. But the humility is just a put-on. It's not from the heart. If the humility was from the heart, when he turned around, he saw that old man, he would have stood up. Aji, let me help you. Help you to sit. Sometimes we look at a person, he's living in a smart house, and he got one, he's dressed up smart, driving on smart vehicle, or this fellow is proud. Wearing nice clothes, driving smart car, that's not pride. It's not pride. Sometimes that person, he may be wearing smart clothes, he may be living in a nice house, but he is humble in his heart. He has got humility in his heart. And we outwardly, we think, you know, we got nothing, we like this, that, but be full of pride. Just let somebody just tell us something and then see. Somebody just say something, now how offended we became. Why do we become offended when somebody tells us something? Because we are not humble. We thinking we someone. That's why we get offended. That's why a praise and an insult is not the same for us. When somebody praises us, we start thinking, oh, I'm really befitting all these praises. I'm really befitting all these praises. Soon as somebody has to point out one fault or somebody has to just say something negative, khalas, finish now. That person, what he knows, he didn't, how much ghibat comes, now we got it in for that person, now we're looking for that person's fault. We're looking to put that person down. What for? Because there is no humility. No humility. And the place to check is with the wife. With the wife. That is our imtihan. Everywhere else sometime we can manage. And come that question in the parcha we fail. There we must see our humility. How is our humility? Imagine, Hazrat always mentions this. I don't know whether Hazrat quotes, which Buzurg he quotes. But some mehman came away. Mehman came. And so he sent a message, he sent one of the khadims, one of the students or something home. He said, go find them. These people came now, khilafe waqt, you know, just pitched up, just like that, didn't know they're coming. So he sent them home. Just ask if they got, if there is some food there. You know? So when that student went by the house, asked if there's food. So the Hazrat's wife there, the Buzurg's wife, she said, kya samajhte ho? Hotel hai ya. In India, Pakistan, for a restaurant, they say hotel. Hotel means like a restaurant where you go to buy food. So they say, what do you think? This place is a restaurant. You come and order food here. Just ask for food. Now imagine your wife tell you that. If your wife has to tell you that. Think really. Wife has to tell you that. Yeah, if you're a little bit in tasawuf, so you won't say nothing. You won't say anything, but you keep it there. To be used at the right time. So I got it in my magazine. I got it in my magazine. Now just wait. Let her sister's daughter's wedding come. Let something come. Then when she wants some money for some, what do you think is a bank here? So we know when to fire it. You know? And if a person don't have any link with any Islam and anything, then don't know what will happen if that lady made that kind of statement. But when that student came and told this Buzurg, this is what she said. He said, Bilkul sahi. Chika. 100% is right. She's not a takeaway restaurant at any time. But just have food ready there. So, he made some other arrangement for the food and he fed the guests. But he never mentioned it to her. Not that now when he came home, now he's pulled up and nothing. There's a Thanvi Rahmatullahi. His life was, you know, everything on time. And not like us. We want everything on time, so I got more time to check my phone. He was everything on time because his life was systematic, you know. His writing time, mamula time, sync with his murids, khanka work, madrasa work, whatever. Everything was, you know, like clockwork. So his time now when he comes home for his meal, the meal must be ready at that time. Now when he came home, it so happened that her some family came away, the respected wife. So her some family was there, they came to visit her or something, so now she got a bit delayed. No. The other day, I went to meet one brother, so he's first generation India, you know. So he's talking about the life over there. So I'm telling him, yeah, and we think we're progressing. So he's saying, he got a deep freeze in his house. So one time, when his some family member came from India and they saw the deep freeze. So they asked him, ye kya hai? He said, no, freezer. He said, kyun? Dukan hai yahan pe. He said, why is this a shop? So he said, in India only the shop keep a deep freeze. You don't find deep freeze in the house. Why? Because everything they cook fresh. Everything they cook fresh. Food is fresh. In India, you never give the person 1 day old roti. They never eat it. Roti you make now, you eat now. You don't make roti or you take out roti from the freezer. That don't work. So food was prepared fresh. Now today we get food, we don't know how many months ago it was made or something, come out from the freezer somewhere, and we think we are progressive nation. Progressive. Anyway, so when he went home now, the food was not ready. So now she too must have now realized that she, you know. So when he asked her, so she said, like, you know, she was busy. So he said, no problem. You carry on with your guests. There must be something left from yesterday. So she said, yeah, there is a little bit left. All right, I'll have that, don't worry. So he said, okay, I'll come make it. No. You carry on with your dishes. I'll sort it out. I'll warm it, I'll make it. And warming it is not popping it in the microwave. So he ate the food. After, now remember, she has delayed him. She has delayed him already. But normally he comes, he will have his meal, then he will ask her if she got any calm. There's time allocated for that. If she got work, he will see to that work. Now she has delayed him. So what will be our mentality? So you delayed me. So now don't think you're going to get your time now. But after he ate, then he still asked her. He still asked her if you got any work. And then she also was not afraid to tell him. Our wives now will be very frightened. You know what? I already caused it. Aral just now. He's still smiling. Let's just keep him smiling and then just carry on. He didn't squeal about that, so let's just leave it at that. No. She still told him, I need to write a letter. Now, she didn't know how to write. Those days, not everybody knew how to write. So he said, I have no problem. Brought the pen, paper, and you dictate the letter, I'll write it for you. Today is a different life. It's a different life. It's either the husband and the wife, they don't connect anymore. They don't connect. They're not involved in one another's life. He does his thing, she does her thing. She is happy as long as she got his credit card, she got her card, she got her freedom, she just moves around, does her own thing. She can get her own work done because he, bichara, is so busy working, you have to wait for him, nothing will get done. So she just lives her own life, he does his own thing. Is that a marriage? What marriage is that? A marriage is a partnership. The husband and wife, they are the libas of one another, the garment of one another. So that quality life in the home is gone. And by, they are crooked. They will remain crooked. You can't make them straight. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, not I'm saying, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you try to make them straight, you will break them. And what you mean you'll break them? You'll end up in divorce. So now, why are you getting upset over the crookedness? Why are you getting upset? If she said something off, she did something off. So didn't your Nabi tell you she's crooked? Now if you wanted somebody straight, then wait for Jannah. You should not got married in the dunya. The wife of the dunya, she is going to be crooked. She is deficient in her aqal. So why are you expecting her to be perfect? Why are you expecting her to be able to think properly? Why are you expecting her that her logic must be correct? Her reasoning must be correct. Her arguments must be correct. أَفَمَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينَ Quran is telling you, when they argue, they're not clear in their arguments. So why are you expecting them to be clear? Hazrat mentioned, one person came to ask for advice. Came to ask for advice. I'm getting married. I'm getting married. So I want some nasihat, some advice. So I gave him advice. Said, when you get married, don't expect your wife to ever do anything right. Don't expect your wife must ever do anything right. The day she do something right, make Lord shukr. But don't ever expect that she do anything right. Now when a person got that mindset, is he ever going to be disappointed? And he's not expecting her to do anything right. Then, boy, I'll tell you in today's zamana, sometime it's gone the other way around. It's gone the other way around. We men are gone like we are naqis. We gone like we are crooked. And the women, many, many of them, they are making so much of sabr, they are being so tolerant, they are being so understanding, and they're just carrying on, making sabr and carrying on. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we bring about, you know, one is a house, one is a home. One is just to have a wife and children, and the other is to have a family. So the sukoon is in that. Sukoon is there. Ta'aneem in the home. Bring sunnahs in the home. Allah will put barakat in the home. Allah will put peace in the home. Bring deen in the home. Asbab of happiness don't bring happiness. Bring the musabbibul asbab, Allah Ta'ala, and He will put happiness. He will put happiness. So don't have malice for anybody in our hearts. As soon as we have malice for somebody in the heart, you can't expect Allah Ta'ala's love to remain there. As soon as we got something in our heart for someone, don't expect Allah Ta'ala to remain there anymore. Hazrat was saying, he said that today, aaj khanka nahi hai. There's no more khankas. There's only khamokha. Because we're not making islah. We're not making islah. We're not reforming. We just want to be entertained when we hear something. No, we're not finding out, must I do this? Mustn't I do that? If I'm told don't do this, then I mustn't do it. If I'm told do that, I must do it. Now, some got this mentality that no, I finish, decide I'm doing that. I rather don't tell him. Because now if he tells me, other, you know, like students in madrasa, you know, so I rather just go away the weekend, I won't ask permission. I am going to go. Now if I ask permission and they tell me no, and then I go, it's a bigger problem. So I rather just go, and when I come and say, I'm sorry. It's not like now I rebelled. It'll just be like I broke one law. Not like I rebelled. After telling you, you still. So the murids have same mentality. But the children are small children. They are children. But we are big, big adults. But we got same mentality. We don't want to tell because now what if they tell me this, then I don't want to do it. I want to open that shop. I want to do that. I want to do that. So I want to go America for holiday. So what I'll do now when I'm on the airport, got my boarding pass in hand, then I sent on WhatsApp message. I said, you're boarding the plane for America, I mean, plane for a couple of weeks, make dua. So you make dua. Or kya? Before you decided you're supposed to ask, must I do this? Can I do this? No, nothing. Nothing. We just duas. Duas, then we give everybody get duas. But Islah won't get me. Islah won't get me. Hazrat mentioned, as one is Patiya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he said one is a person goes to visit the doctor. His friend, you know, came to visit. So when he comes in the waiting room and he tells that reception there or secretary or whatever, you say, you know what? Just tell doctor that so and so from Johannesburg is here or from Cape Town is here. Just give him a message. And he will stop all his patients. You are his old friend, his dost. He stop all his patients. Said, I'm not seeing no patients now. Send him. He'll come out to collect you. And so much ikram is showing you. He'll take you inside. Get one cup tea. He's not even asking you if you're diabetic or anything. He's giving you fresh cream, donuts, and giving you some more sugar and everything you have. Don't worry. But you only had one, have another one too. Why? Because you didn't come as a patient. You didn't come as a patient. So you get royal treatment. But now, when the patient comes, you get in the bed there, just roll up your sleeve. Checking this pressure, checking, open your mouth, put something inside, checking the ears. You're only looking for a fault. You can't find something here, you're looking for something there. You can't find something there, looking for something here. He's looking for a fault. Why? Because you came as a patient. So there's no tea offered, plus you must wait in the line also. Then plus you have to pay too. That fellow don't have to stand in the line. He gets preferential treatment, plus he doesn't have to pay. You get extra tea, coffee, everything, and don't pay for anything. You must wait in the line. You come there, then you get prodded, poked, torched, everything happens to you. Then they finish, right? There's prescription, we'll get, take this medicine, that medicine, plus you pay now. The sheikhs don't charge the murids, they don't tell you to pay. If it's a genuine sheikh, you don't know subscriptions and all, they don't have to pay. But the point is that you come as a murid, you're looking for Islah, then it's a different relationship. You come as a friend, that's a different relationship. Friendship is something else. Islah is something else. So the Sibghatullah, the colors, the color of Allah. In other words, we must paint ourselves in that. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ سِبْغَةً. The colors of Allah Ta'ala, this is what we must paint ourselves in. All the different sifat, the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. Obviously, we will have it to a different degree. But that's what we have to bring. See, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when the whole incident of the slander against Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. So one of the person involved was Mistah radiallahu anhu. He innocently got involved. He was a sincere Muslim. In fact, he was even a Badri Sahabi. So he innocently got involved. So later on, when everything was sorted out, Allah Ta'ala sent down the ayat, everything. So Mistah radiallahu anhu, he was a poor person, wasn't a person of means. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to assist him financially. But now when this whole thing happened, he said, no, now I'm not giving him. Now, it wasn't that it was his duty to give him, it was an optional thing he was doing. But what Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا يَأْتَرِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Overlook, forgive, forget, like how we say in English. No, forgive and forget. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive and overlook this thing. Wipe it out now, finish. Why? أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. See how Allah Ta'ala is telling us to paint ourselves in His color. What a thing Mistah did. What Allah Ta'ala is telling Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. In other words, don't you want Allah must forgive you? Allah's quality is to forgive. That's Allah's color. Allah wants you to forgive. So Allah wants you also to be forgiving. Allah wants you also to be forgiving. Overlook this person's fault. Overlook it. Never mind how serious it is. Overlook it. No problem. Remove it from your heart. Wipe it out. Forgive the person. Finish. So isn't Allah is telling us to forgive? Because Allah is forgiving. You want Allah to be like that to you. You to be like that. Why are you holding this thing in your heart? So in the Khanqa, this is what we are supposed to be. Why are we bringing the colors of shaitan? We are supposed to be bringing the colors of Allah Ta'ala, not the colors of shaitan. See, this morning we did in the, after Fajr we do a little bit, one ayat or something. So we did. Allah Ta'ala told shaitan, he must make sajda. Isn't all had to make sajda to Nabi Adam alayhi salam? Shaitan, he used his own logic. He was hasty. He came to his own conclusions. And he considered himself better. You created me from fire, you created him from clay. He used his own logic, came to his own. Adam alayhi salam, when he made a mistake, when they ate from whatever Allah told him not to eat from in Jannah, he made that mistake. What was his response? Submission, surrender, humility. Ya Allah, forgive. He was in the colors of Allah. Shaitan, haughty. Oh, you did this to me. Now I'll show you. Your bandas now, put them all in Jahannam. I'm going to lead them all astray. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That is the colors of Shaitan. Now how do we behave? How do we behave? Somebody did one. Oh, well, I'll fix you up now. Hazrat says, Muhammad Sahib, sure, alright, I'll show you. You come over pot, I'll show you. Come over pot, then I'll show you. But we talk like that now. Oh, you did like that? Alright. But I'll fix him up. I know how to sort him out. I know what to do. I'll show him. He'll regret the day he did this. That's Shaitan's colors. That is Shaitan's colors. So we need to paint ourselves in the colors of Allah Ta'ala. Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullahi, talking about a khanka now, how istag is made in a khanka. Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullahi, it was a hot day, he's telling the khadim, say, must fan. They didn't have all this electric fan, so the khadim must fan with a hand, like with a hand fan, you know. So he's fanning the sheikh. So is a favor or what? It's a favor, right? He's making khidmat. So we make khidmat, we expect to be put on a pedestal. We are making khidmat now, you know. So he's making khidmat now, he's fanning. So the sheikh, he said, this, like, whether he's fanning or not fanning is the same. So slow he's doing, so slow, like no taqat in this fanning. What kind of fanning this is? So now the khadim, he starts fanning, you know, with the force. So then Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullahi, he commented, he said, now looks like this person wants to make me fly away. So much he's fanning now that he wants me to fly away. So the khadim, he said this much. He said, na idar, na udar. In other words, I'm fanning slowly, that too is a problem. I'm fanning with some force, that too is a problem. Na idar, na udar. When Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullahi heard that, he told him, Nikalja. Expect. Out. He's making khidmat. But you see the mashayikh, they test. The testing, right? Became nikalja, expelled out. So Hazrat mentioned today's time, you can't tell the murid that. As soon as you tell him nikalja, you go look for the next majlis. His ishtar don't get made, he becomes a grasshopper. You tell him out, so they can't value me there. Maybe somebody else will see my value, I'll get khilafat somewhere else. Let me go. They told me nikalja, must obey the sheikh. He said nikalja, so let me go. Those days they were sincere. They knew where their islah was. So he somehow pleaded, asked maafi, whatever, was given some punishments, etc. Eventually he came back. But Hazrat mentioned that Hazrat ji rahmatullahi asked, why did the sheikh do that? Why did Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullahi do that? He did it because if this person could make that statement by the sheikh, what would he have done if he was at home? Normally in front of your sheikh, you want to be on excellent behavior. And to be on top behavior in front of the sheikh. In front of the sheikh, you could make the statement, na idar, na udar. Although it was said like in a light-hearted manner. But if you could say that here, So at home, if your wife told you something, then what? How you would have responded? So that thing needs to be sorted out. That nafs needs to be broken. It needs to be broken. Why that nafs got upset? It did get upset. That's why you said na idhar na udhar. Today you forget the nafs getting upset. Today the murid become the qazi over the sheikh also. The murid sometimes become a qazi over the sheikh. So how our islah is going to get made? Islah has to get made. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, I'm mentioning this whole majlis that Hazrat gave on Thursday night. We're adding little bit one truth, but most of it is from the Thursday night. Hazrat said it's a very, very important majlis. Right? So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say, if a stranger comes to visit me, and he got 99 evils in him, and he got only one good, so I only look at his one good. I only look at his one good. But if my murid comes, and he got 99 good, and he got one fault in him, I only look at the one fault. I only look at his fault. I don't look at all his... Because he needs to sort himself out. That's what he came for. So I have to help him to do that, to sort himself out. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to perfect akhlaq. Bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to perfect akhlaq. But how important this akhlaq is, our character, our akhlaq, how important it is. What is meant? We have to learn that in every situation, my heart, my eyes, my ears, my tongue must be protected. That I mustn't say anything to him that's going to break his heart. I mustn't harbor an ill thought against him. I mustn't look at anything wrong. Akhlaq is not only somebody gave me something, I said thank you very much. Somebody gave, oh, much appreciated. I shook this one's hand and that one's hand. It's far more reaching than that. Character as defined by the kuffar is something else. Character in deen, in Islam is something else. If I am looking at another man's wife, or another man's daughter, another man's sister, is that akhlaq? Well, what happened to my akhlaq? I'm looking at somebody else's wife. I'm admiring somebody else's wife. I'm looking at somebody else's daughter, somebody else's sister. So, is that akhlaq? There's no akhlaq. So many things like this. In business, I'm doing that one down. I'm shrewd. I'm giving my quotation, then I'm going against my word in my quotation. I'm giving time frames, I'm not sticking to my time frame. The unforeseen is a different story. Unforeseen is different. But here the person from the word go, he knows he's not going to do it. So all that is it akhlaq. You're not akhlaq. I'm showing that my client a smiling face. But my staff, I'm swearing. My client, smiling face. No, we are very particular, our job, no, highest quality, everything. But the staff, they're getting sworn left, right and center. Is that akhlaq? The akhlaq that he's showing to the client is not because he wants to show good akhlaq. The akhlaq he's showing to the client is because he wants the client's money. It's not for akhlaq, for Allah Ta'ala, it's for money, for his pocket. That's why when it comes to the staff, he's just swearing one way. Taking off with them anyhow, talking to them anyhow. That's not akhlaq. So we have to protect this heart, the eyes, the ears, the tongue. Everything has to be protected. The actions that will weigh heaviest on the scale, on the day of Qiyamah, the scale of Allah Ta'ala is akhlaq. Not your tahajjud. Not how much tilawat. No. Akhlaq. Character. Sometime we reading namaz in the masjid, for example. Now we are concentrating and we are, which is very, very good. Somebody else, maybe he's ignorant. Person is ignorant. He doesn't really know much. And now he's doing something that may be not most appropriate. And now you finish your two rakats and you're taking off with that person. He's not your student, he's not your murid. He's somebody from the community, he came. Now you're taking off with that fellow. What's wrong with you? Can't say I'm reading namaz, you know. Is that akhlaq? Isn't that akhlaq? You're reading Quran Sharif? It's Ramadan now. You want to make the khatams and khatams. You're reading Quran Sharif, but you're taking off with your wife, you're taking off with your children. So is that akhlaq? It's not akhlaq. One side you're doing an ibadat, and the other side where is the akhlaq? Akhlaq needs to be there. I mentioned this thing, sometime, you know, we want to feed. Yet people want to feed. You know, cook the digs now. Eat day, we're giving everybody, we're feeding the people. Right? So one side, we're cooking the digs, we want to feed the people. But then when the people come for the food, then how are we talking to them? Because they're muhtaj for a plate of food, now we think we can talk to them like they're dirt. Talk to them anyhow, taking off, sometimes swearing also. You think you're going to get sawab for that? The thing that's going to be weighty on the scales is akhlaq. Akhlaq is the thing most weighty on the scales on day of Qiyamah. So this character is very, very important. One lady, she was an abida, you know. Not her name was an abida. She was an abida, meaning a lot of ibadat. Roza, tahajjud, a lot of ibadat. But her neighbors were very upset with her. Because bad akhlaq. Bad character. So her case was mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Lady, so much ibadat she's making. But the neighbors, they are affected with her bad akhlaq. So that wasn't a positive situation. It's not that because of her ibadat now, so her bad akhlaq would be excused. It's not going to be excused. As it mentioned, the Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua. Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fa hassin khuluqi. This is the dua that we must read when looking in the mirror. Now how many of us are reading this dua? How many of us are reading this dua when we look into the mirror? Too much we want to look in the mirror. How every strand of hair must be. Everything. Now, I mentioned to the students sometime, I said that when you, in that age, you know, the teens and that young, some people they go in old age, they still say the same, but generally when you're in that young age, you know, you think the whole world is looking at you. You think that if I, you know, and I step out of the house, all eyes are on me. One strand of hair is out, everybody will notice it. If I've got one pimple on my face, now everybody is going to see that thing. And after you get a little bit older, you realize nobody was looking at anything. You're not the, you know what I mean, the major feature in the dunya that everybody's only turning to look at you now, how you are. But Allah Ta'ala, we must look after ourselves also, we mustn't be untidy, etc. But now when we're looking into that mirror and we're appreciating that Allah Ta'ala created me, imagine if Allah Pak now put skin on our face. What should be our situation? If Allah Ta'ala made it such that the skin on our bodies was not smell proof. Allah has made our body such, the qudrat of Allah, this thin skin, right? But whatever smells are in the body, you can't smell it. It's a covering. If a person's skin is removed, for everybody is the same. White, black, coffee color, Japanese, Chinese, whatever, everybody is same. Take out the skin. Everybody is same inside. That's why Qurbani time, that's my animal, this is your animal. Take out the skin, now you need tags. After you take out the skin, you need tags, man. Which carcass belongs to who. But then it's all the same. Take out the skin, we're all the same. But Allah's Qudrat, with the skin on, nobody is the same. No one is the same. No thumbprint is the same. No iris is the same. You know, our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, there was one girl, whenever her mother was telling her to read Quran Sharif, she, you know, one is now, you're telling the child to read Quran or read Namaz or something, and the child is making one excuse, or the child is lying, no, I read, or whatever. And the other is, you're telling the child to read, and the child is talking bad. Child is talking bad about reading Quran, talking bad about reading Namaz. What am I reading Namaz for? What's the benefit of reading Quran? That kind, now that's a worry. Now when we're talking about, we're talking about in the 80s. Right? This incident I'm telling you is in the 80s. Right? So, this parent now, they brought this child and came to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat asked her, what's the problem? Why are you talking bad of Quran Sharif? Why are you talking bad of Salah? So she didn't want to talk. She didn't want to give the reason. But Hazrat carried on, spoke to her, this, that, and eventually she coughed it out. She said that, no, my science teacher in school has convinced me that there is no God. That's it. My science, when we're talking about in the 80s, my science teacher in school has convinced me that there is no God. Right? So, why must we make ibadat and all? There is no God. It's all for nothing. So, Hazrat mentioned that this statement of that girl made him open the girl's madrasa. That made him start the girl's madrasa. That our girls rather come out of school, they must come study deen. And that's why Hazrat was so distinct that he made that boys' school, girls' school, that take the children out of this government schools and all that. They need to learn a little bit how to read, write, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. They need to learn a few things, bring them into a dini environment and teach them. I'm not talking about these Islamic schools that are registered and they teaching the whole truth. I'm talking about those schools where you're just teaching them the basics, right, so that they can get on with their lives, you know. So, Hazrat said that this child, what this child said, that caused him to start the girl's madrasa. But the point here, this child mentioned this. Hazrat told, alright, see, if we have to take 1,000 people, right, And we tell them all, in darkness, they must draw one pattern. They must draw one pattern. And nobody must draw the pattern like the next person. Now, how many patterns can you draw? Whatever pattern you're going to draw, somebody will draw something, somebody is going to draw something. Hazrat told her now, try to think, Allah Ta'ala, billions of people coming in the world. And Allah Ta'ala, in the darkness of the mother's womb, is creating this child. The mother doesn't even know when the thumbprint is put. The mother, the baby is right in her womb, she too don't know when the thumbprint came and everything. And not one person, no two people are born with the same thumbprint. What Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala this is? What knowledge? Imagine, by ask anybody. You got students in the madrasa, you got a file. Somewhere along the line you make one mistake. You're selling commodities, you got file, you got this commodity, that point of sale, something, this, somewhere along the line you make one mistake. You got clients, you make one mistake. Somewhere along you're selling motor cars, you got all your files, this car, that car, that. Somewhere along the line you're going to mix up. You put this logbook in that car's file, that logbook in this car's file. Somewhere along the line some kachumbar will happen. Allah Ta'ala is creating from when to now. That means Allah got a record. Each person's thumbprint, what is each person's thumbprint? No two people come with the same thumbprint. What is Allah's Qudrat? You think that Allah can't sort out my problem and your problem? What power you got, our small problem, you think you can't sort out? And why are we turning to anybody else? Turn to Him. So Allah Ta'ala has created us such, He gave us features, gave us a unique look. Each person got a unique look. Now when we're looking in the mirror and we're thanking Allah Ta'ala, Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi. You know Allah, you made my appearance good. Give me a beautiful appearance. Now fahassin khuluqi. You know Allah, make my akhlaq good also. Such a beautiful appearance the person got, but swearing words coming out from the mouth. Such a beautiful appearance the person got, and then he's making ghibat about somebody. Is doing, it doesn't fit in. So Ya Allah, you made my appearance good, make my akhlaq good also. So we must make this dua, every day make this dua, consciously think of the meaning also. Then Hazrat mentioned this one incident, the last incident Hazrat mentioned, and there's something for us to think, So there was one Hakim. In those days, the Hakims, they spend a lot of time in the jungles, because they're gathering herbs, they're growing certain things, whatever. I was reading one article yesterday, just digress a little bit. Reading one article, they say, first time they have recorded that a monkey used medicine to cure itself. So one monkey and one, these people, which are now, they tag this monkey and that monkey. And so they are following this orangutan, orangutan. So this thing was maybe fighting with another male, dominance, whatever. So it got one gash on its face or skin. Peeled out. So it found some leaf and the bark of a certain tree. It found that by eating the leaf and rubbing its face on the bark of the tree, it takes away the pain that it's experiencing and it got healing properties. So they showed that, they're explaining now that in the first day, this thing, the gash was like that, and then second day, third day, in so many days, the thing was healed. But they say it's the first recorded incident where a monkey used medicine to cure itself. But they, Bichara, never sat in Hazrat Jivan Masjullah Rahmatullah Ali's majalis, all the scientists. They say first recorded incident. Hazrat Ji told us that time, one day Hazrat Ji mentioned in the majlis that there was one farmer, he was having problem with the baboons. Whatever he was planting, they coming and they eating it up. So he was getting fed up, so he's trying this, you know, this trap, that put one, what they call those things, scarecrow, dog, whatever he's trying, but those baboons are still raiding his vegetable patch. So eventually, he went to the shop where they sell all these mutis and everything. So those people told him, see, we got one poison. It's very potent. But make sure you don't come on your hands. Nobody must smell this thing, you know, nobody must even have one drop. It's a death and there's no cure for it. You know? So he bought that poison. Desperation, now he bought the poison. He took some rotis, he put the poison on the rotis and he scattered it in the vegetable patch. And now he's waiting that this troop must come now, they must eat these rotis and that's the end of them now. So he's observing, you see, these baboons now, they came down the mountain. They came, they picked up the roti, they're smelling this roti, they're not eating. Now they start screaming, you know how the monkeys make noise. You don't know. So, anyway, they're making a big noise. So they took all the rotis and they put in one heap. So after some time, one big baboon came down, like an old baboon, you know, came down the mountain. He came, he also came there, now they're sitting around these rotis. So he smelt the roti, put it down. He went back up, came down with few baboons. They're carrying sticks in their hands. Came down through the sticks. So each baboon took one stick. They're chewing the stick and they're eating the roti. The poison never affected them. So Hazrat Ji mentioned that time, right, he mentioned this incident. And he says that, see, now we're becoming so proud over our medicine. The monkeys do no medicine. They do no medicine. But anyway, these people now, they're a little bit delayed. They found the first documented story now. But Hazrat Ji knew this thing long time, that time he told us already. I don't know why I was telling you all this thing. Yeah, so I was explaining to you that these Hakims now, they find this herb, that herb, like how these monkeys do now, they know this herb can do that, that herb can do that. So these Hakims, but they find these herbs and then they make it. So they spend most of their time in the jungles. So this one Hakim, he was away for a long time now, gathering herbs and all that, and he came back to the village, and he was fatigued, hadn't slept for a couple nights. When he came right by the entrance of the village, he just made it, you know, to the entrance of the village and he passed out. So he slept away there. And it so happened that the king and his entourage, they were passing by there. Now when the king is going past, it's like be adbi for you to be sleeping. You must stand up now in attention for the king. And the king is going past. So the king and his entourage came, so they see this fellow is sleeping here. They don't know who he is. So the king sent one khadim to go and wake this fellow up. That person went, so he's trying to wake him up nicely, but that Hakim was so tired, he didn't wake up. So the king went, and he gave him one kick, booted him. The Hakim woke up. He's rubbing his eyes. The king asked him, he said, what you doing? He said, no, I'm trying to figure out what beast kicked me. So what type of a beast kicked me? So he's all the time in the jungle, only beast in the jungle. So which beast came here now in the village and kicked me? So the king told him, don't you know who I am? that I'm the king of this area, I'm ruling over such and, you know, so much area, what power I got, whatever he's telling him now about who he is. So this Hakim heard him out, you know. He heard him out. He told him, Khair, whatever you're telling me, all this is only till the crown is on your head. Once the crown is off your head, then you don't have any of this. Once your robe is off, you don't have any of this. Tell me something about yourself. You're telling me about all these things. Tell me something about yourself. Some worth of yourself that you got. What, when you go in the qabr, is going to help you? It's going to help you in the grave. Tell me about that. So that was an eye-opener for that king. The words of this Hakim. So we too, we need to ask ourselves. We need to ask ourselves that what do I have in my life is going to help me in my qabr. It's going to take me in my qabr. It's going to be an asset for me in my grave. Otherwise, everything else around us, that we're going to leave it. The wife will become somebody else's wife. The wealth is somebody else's wealth. The clothing is somebody else's clothing. Everything will go to somebody else. Motor cars will go to somebody else. Watches go to somebody else. Everything will go to somebody else. But what is ours? Our iman, our good deeds. That's the only thing belong to us. Now how much of effort are we making on that? And remember, a'mal as-salihah, the good deeds, whatever ibadat we're making, etc. But if there's no akhlaq hamida, there's no good deeds, then all that a'mal gets lost. All that a'mal gets lost. We're concentrating a lot on the ibadat. Hazrat also used to say this. Today's time people want to make a lot of wazifa, they want to read this, read that, everything they want to do. Which is all good, fair and well, is good in its place. But if the akhlaq is not there, all this thing is lost. All is lost. And you see it even in the dunya, amongst insan also. You see it in the dunya too. A person got a palatial home, he got everything going, right? But he's always grumpy. He's always angry. He's always sour. Is there happiness? There's no happiness. Everything that he's doing is lost. The own children, the own wife, the parents, whatever, they say, you know what? Rather, you don't do all this. But just show us some good akhlaq. Show us a happy face. That's more important. So a person, he has accumulated lot of amal. Hajj, Umrah, Sadaqah, Sawm, Nafl Namazes, lot, everything he has done. All the positive ibadat. But he comes on the day of Qiyamah, he swore this one, he made zulam on that one, he backbited that one, he slandered that one. He did all these things. Now, he stands in front of Allah Ta'ala and his payback time. His payback time. Now he has to pay back. Now when he comes there on the day of Qiyamah, he comes with a healthy bank balance of a'mal. Because he did a lot of ibadat. But now he has to pay. And there, no rands and cents. No Kruger coins, nothing. There is amal. You're going to pay with amal. So now the person will have to give away his good deeds. And he gives away all his good deeds. But his people are still waiting in the line to be paid. So now he got no money now. He can't pay. He got no amal left. So those people's gunas are then taken and put on his account. Until in the end, he is a muflis. Muflis is bankrupt. He got nothing. And then he is taken and is flung into Jahannam. Allahumma fazna. So this is how important this akhlaq is. Akhlaq, extremely important. Have riayat, consideration for the next person. I always mention this thing by akhlaq is not making everybody according to our temperament. Akhlaq is to be able to be good to everybody, despite their temperament going totally against ours. We talk about sila rahmi, maintaining family ties. What is maintaining family ties? Being good to that family who is good to you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, that's just a tit for tat. That person is good for you, to you, so you're good to them. That's not maintaining family ties. Maintaining family ties is you are good to those family members who are bad to you. They bad to you, you still be good to them. That is maintaining family ties. So those who are bad to us, we must still be good to them. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Give us tawfiq that we bring this good akhlaq, akhlaq-i hamida, we bring it into our lives. And we take our islah seriously. Take our islah seriously. Don't let it be a by the way thing. It must be the important thing in my life. Every day I must be thinking about it. How am I going to improve myself? How am I going to improve myself? And Hazrat used to say that when we were born, we came in the dunya crying. Everybody around us was smiling. Let it not be that when we leave the dunya also, we leave crying and everybody around us is smiling. It must be that when we leave the dunya, we must be smiling and everybody around must be tearing. The neighbor must be cheering that way, I'm going to get a neighbor like this. The people working for us, they must be cheering, way we'll get a boss like this. What a boss he was. A wife must be cheering, way I'll ever get a husband like this. Children, it's a way we can get a father like this. Mustn't be a situation where the wife is cheering. Everybody's telling her, don't cry, don't cry. But they don't know she's crying tears of joy. It's a chutkara. How else was I going to come out of this? How else was I going to come out of this oppressive relationship? There was no way to come out. He got the power of divorce in his hand. I couldn't come out. Now, never mind, Allah Pak found a way out for me. He is gone. Now I'm free. Shouldn't be like that. Our akhlaq should be such that when we are away from home, that wife should miss us. Wife should miss us. Not he's away from home, he packed a little bit extra patkos and send him back. He mustn't miss home, he just go. He's asking for ijazat for 2 days. He said, don't take 2 weeks. Go, 2 weeks. Every opportunity she can get, she wants to go on holiday. Why she wants to leave you and go on holiday? In the first year of marriage is understandable. First year of marriage, she's still missing home. First year of marriage, she don't even regard your home as her home as yet. She still got some clothes in her cupboard there at home and all. After 10 years you married to her, every holiday she's waiting to run you. Your wife mustn't want to leave you. She don't want to leave your side. She want to stay with you. That is a different thing. Her parents are not well, she has to go and make khidmat, whatever. But the wife mustn't want to just leave her husband and run every opportunity. She must leave the husband and go away. Oh, she must enjoy living with her husband. She must be happy that when he's coming home. The children must be happy when the father is coming home. They want to spend time together. Not like he's like a military sergeant. In the old days, the fathers were like military sergeants. Today, they are like absent. When they're around two, they're not there. When they're around two, they're not there. Can't make one joke with the wife. Can't make the wife smile. The person, when he's courting these, when he's doing a shaitani action, then he is so proud of himself if he made her smile. When he's in a haram relationship and he made her smile, he's so proud. Yeah, I told her like this, she started, she's so proud. He did this, she accepted one gift from him or so. He's so proud of it. But after Allah give us a halal wife, then why we don't want to make her smile? Why you don't want to make her, you know, crack some joke? She must laugh. She must feel good. Why not? Only wanted to do it to make shaitan happy. Now you say, no man, Allah gave me this wife. Right? How happy Allah will get with me if I keep her cheerful. If I keep her cheerful, how happy Allah will be with me. And I'm making qadr of this gift that Allah gave me. Allah Ta'ala also will be razi. Now, I remember Hafiz Hamza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in one majlis he mentioned, he said, you know, you treat your wife well, you know. You treat your wife well. She'll eat out of your hand. You know, like how he mentioned this thing in one majlis. Now, I remember these words very, very clearly. He mentioned, he said, you know, some men, they think that, no, they go, they come back any time, the wife don't tell them nothing, you know. And there are other wives, you came home late. Bichari, she couldn't eat. She couldn't eat. She doesn't know now, hey, what happened to him? How come he didn't come? She's sending you messages, you're not even answering. You're telling your friend, he's a nag. But she can't eat, that's why. She can't sleep, she can't eat, she can't do nothing. Because the person she loves now is not at home. What happened to him? She's so worried. Now, when he comes home, she starts taking off. Why she starts taking off? It was like a pressure cooker. You know, a pressure cooker now, she's pent up all the pressure. So now when he comes home, she's so relieved. That she needs to release the pressure. Now how she's going to release the pressure? What's wrong with you? You never check your phone. Where are you coming from? What happened to you? 50 questions. Bichara can't answer. It's just, before we can answer the first question, another 3 already came. But Hafiz Sahib mentioned this thing. Dr. Hansa Sahib Rahmatullahi. He said she'll be taking off with you. But while she's taking off with you, she's warming your food also. She's shouting, she's asking all these questions, but she's warming your food also. That is a wife. Because she's concerned. If she couldn't eat, she's warming your food now that you will eat. And the wife who don't care, as I said, the husband and wife, they live their own lives. So he comes midnight, he is driving around town, eating takeaway food, one toasted something here and something, a donut from there, right? And he comes home, what was so gay? She's sleeping, she can't be bothered what time he came, what time he went, long as his credit card is here, that's all we interested in. He must carry on working. Where he wants to run around with friends and do whatever he wants to do, he loves his life, I live my life. There's no care. She can still have a good sleep. She don't know her husband is kidnapped, hijacked, what happened to him? She is sleeping, aram se. Now is that a partnership? But then the husband also have to be like that? If every day he is doing that, she can't be sitting up every day. But if every day he comes home, he is there to hold her hand, he is sitting with her, what her... Now the one day when he's late, you think she can rest? She can't. So that is a marriage. That is a home. Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq. We show good akhlaq, be good, and we don't hurt anybody. Don't hurt anybody. We must make it like our life mission. I'm not going to hurt anybody. And sometime it can happen, a misunderstanding. So ask maaf. Ask for maaf and finish. Finish it off. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. I don't know, look. You are tired now? You must carry on. You have tea. What you want to do? All right, we'll just need a few minutes.